Let me ask you to pull out your bulletins, or if you have a Bible, look at 1 Samuel, the 17th chapter, and we're going to read together verses 45 and 46. It's also printed on the back of your worship bulletin. Please share with your neighbors. Let's read God's word together from 1 Samuel, the 17th chapter, verses 45 and 46. Let us share it together, and it's also on the screen. Then David said to the Philistines, let's do that again. Here we go. Then David said to the Philistine, you come to me with sword, with spear, and with a javelin. But I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defiled. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. The word of God for the people of God, thanks be to God. I want to share with you the title of my sermon for this morning, When God's Way. When God's Way. Look to your neighbor and say the title with me. When God's Way. Amen. If you look at the passage of Scripture, you will notice it is with the children of Israel. It is the army that is in confrontation with the Philistines. They're located by Shokem Valley. It is there that they're in this confrontation. And lo and behold, it's a giant. And his name is? Oh, come on, that was easy. His name is? Goliath. Yeah. He comes out of nowhere to intimidate. Because of his presence, he's about 9 or 10 feet tall. He continues to have this armor on that weighs over 200 pounds. He intimidates the army of Israel. Now, this is not the first time that the people of God was faced with dealing with giants. If you have your Bibles, look at Numbers chapters 13 through 14, and you'll see when they were coming out of bondage, out of slavery. God promised them that they would enter a land flowing with milk and honey, the land of Canaan. God had protected them and provided for them as they were in the wilderness, leaving Pharaoh's oppression. And yet now they're at the apex of getting ready to enter into the Canaan land, and lo and behold, they decided that they were timid. And so they asked two spies to go and to observe the land. Joshua and Caleb looked, and they noticed indeed it was a land that was flowing with milk and honey, but they also had giants in the land. But yet, the spies shared, Caleb and Joshua, that we can possess the land if we follow God's lead. How many of you know it's best to just follow God's lead? Yeah, just follow God's lead. But the children of Israel decided, no, we're not going there. We're not going into that land if you say there are so many giants. And so for the next 40 years, they're back wandering around until that generation finally went off and they finally entered into the land of promise. Now, not all giants are bad. Don't let anyone fool you. If you look around this sanctuary this morning, we have some New York Giant fans. Where are they? Yeah. Folks who just love the New York Giants, and nothing's wrong with that. In fact, I want to share with you that I had the opportunity to meet one of the great Giants players. My wife Linda and I had the opportunity to go to an African-American museum this summer. And while there, she noticed I was in conversation with a gentleman, and we were having a good conversation. It just depends which floor we had a chance to talk sometime. It was as we was waiting to get in line, and then we were on the first floor, then the second floor, then the third floor, and just talking and talking about football. How many of you just love football? Yeah. There are four seasons in life: winter, spring, summer, and football. Nothing like it. His name is David Tyree. How many of you know David Tyree? That's us hanging out there at the African American Museum. David Tyree is the one, and I've seen some Patriot fans in here as well. If you remember in the Super Bowl, David Tyree caught the football where? On the back of his helmet. David Tyree has an extraordinary story. He's an approachable gentleman. He doesn't mind talking about his past, nor his present, and ultimately his future. David Tyree shared that that catch was the last one he had in the NFL league. Because then he went on the next season, he got hurt, and it was all over. But he said, God was always with me. Even when I was heading in a downward spiral, God was there. He talked about he didn't come from a Christian home, but yet God was with him. He said it wasn't until he came in contact with God's word that it made the difference in his life. Made the difference. He was so reminded that you never know when it's your last play. But yet God blessed him. Because he says now, and he had the guys with him, now I'm responsible for every rookie that comes to camp as a mentor for the New York Giants. I have a chance to help shape and mold and mentor these young men. Because God was on my side. And he gives all the glory to God. So not all Giants are bad. Not like Goliath. Amen? I shared at the last story in service, and I want to share with you my request. And perhaps you've heard the story as it relates to a football player. He was an outstanding football athlete. He was considered the most valuable player on the team. The president of the university had a chance, Coach Sims, to talk with the head ball coach. He said, Coach, I got some bad news for you. Your star athlete won't play in the big game on Saturday. We caught him cheating. The coach said, well, share a little bit more about that. He said, well, Coach, it was 10 questions, and your star athlete, he positioned himself. He was seated by the A student. And we know that he was cheating. He copied off of her paper. The coach said, no, that doesn't mean that he copied off his paper because he was seated by the A student. Maybe she copied off of his paper. He said, no, Coach, we got him. First 9 questions are exactly the same. They're all correct. Well, the boy might have studied and burned the midnight oil. No, Coach, it was the 10th question. She put on her paper, I don't know. He put on his paper, I don't know either. Some of you will get that on the way home. Yeah. Just never know how life works out. And so I want to ask you a question this morning. It's just 3 questions and then I'll take my seat. If you look at your sermon notes, it's this question, the first question, as it relates to football. Does Jesus care who wins the football game? Look to your neighbor and ask that question. I mean, does he care? How many of you have Madden 19? Yeah, nothing like that. I play that religiously. My wife Linda can tell you that. Enjoy playing it. But does Jesus care who wins the football game? I know you have the answer. Some of you just said it. No. In fact, look at this next bullet point. Jesus doesn't care who wins the game, but Jesus does care how the game is played. He does care how the game is played. If the game is played right, if the rules are in order and fair for everyone, he does care. That's the same way it is with life. He cares how we live our lives. His word teaches us how we ought to conduct ourselves and to live. You look at this passage of scripture that we have unfolding for us this morning. It comes from 1 Samuel, the 17th chapter, and it deals with a familiar character many of us can quote verbatim. The 23rd Psalm. It's a song from whom? David. But yet David was not just a little shepherd boy who quoted and shared this psalm, Psalms 23, but David also, as the Bible tells us, he was a man after God's own heart. And he loved God. Even though he made mistakes and blunders along the way, he still loved God. And he honored God and worshiped God. He was a man's man. He worshiped God in spirit and in truth. You see this story here in 1 Samuel, the 17th chapter, and you'll see how David was told by his father Jesse to go down to the valley to see how things were faring out as the army of God, Israel, was in confrontation with the Philistines. Now, mind you, David is the youngest son of Jesse. Jesse had 8 boys, and David is the youngest. And David normally would take care of the sheep. But yet God had a significant role for David. I don't care what you're doing at this particular time. If you feel as though you're on the team and you don't have a significant place, just hang in there and do what God wants you to do and the coach. Because your time will come. You look at David, he's number 8. In fact, you would say he's an outsider. Most of the boys could work around the house, but where was David? He had to work in the wilderness with the sheep. But yet God had a place for him. If you feel like you're just warming the bench, don't worry. Even sometimes as it relates to football and church, it seems as though there's a parallel. You don't know what I'm talking about, do you? Think for a moment, and you might want to write this down. Football and church go hand in hand. Look at this next slide. You see that BCU band? Amen. Quarterback sneak. A quarterback sneak is when you try and sneak out of the church, and I'm right here looking at you. You feel you're a bench warmer. Some people in church, they just warm the pews. They don't participate. They don't help. They just warm in the pews. Halftime, we love to see the band at halftime. And if you haven't seen Bethune-Cookman Band, look on Netflix and you'll be so impressed with that band. Hard-working band by Donovan Wells, my classmate. Halftime is when you notice the service is over, Sunday school is getting ready, but you head on home. Stand in the pockets. Where are our quarterbacks? Stand up real quick. If you play quarterback for Bethune-Cookman University, come on, come on, come on, stand up. Yeah, look at these great men. Aren't they great leaders? Give them a hand. I see one of the best all-time quarterbacks, Alan Subler. Alan, just wave your hand, coach. Quarterbacks are taught. No, stay where you are. Stay where you are. Quarterbacks are taught to stay where? Come on, you're making the sermon longer than it need to be. Say it real loud. Stay in the pocket. They're taught to stay in the pocket because that's where the protection is, and they're able to throw the football better. Now, there's times when you have to run out of the pocket in order to throw the football or run for the first down, but they're taught to stay in the pocket. Church is just like that. We have folks doing the offering time, their money stay in their pockets. Yeah. Thank you, gentlemen. Have a seat. Two-minute warning is when you realize the pastor only have 2 more minutes to preach. You start getting your keys and getting your phone and ready to hit the door. Instant replay is when the pastor has to fall back on last week's illustration. Football can be just like church. Amen? You look at this passage of scripture with David, and speaking of winning God's way, you'll see where David goes to that battlefield And he's noticing something for the very first time. I mean, David noticed his mentors, his brothers. Remember, he had seven brothers. He was the eighth child. Those men that he followed and admired, Coach Williams, he noticed that they were in the foxhole, but they were afraid. They were timid. They were acting like cowards and afraid. And then David, out of nowhere, noticed a giant. And the giant was intimidating those men that he admired, that he was inspiring to be. David wanted to be just like his brothers and just like those men who are part of God's army, but now they're in a foxhole and they're afraid, and he hears and sees this giant. And David asked the question, if you have your Bibles, look closely. I don't want you to think I'm making this up. He asked the question, who is going to challenge this giant? And his oldest brother, how many of you know sometimes your oldest sibling can be your worst problem? Yeah. His older brother called him out, and he says in the Message Bible interpretation, he says, are you here to see a bloodbath? See, his brother already felt that they were already defeated. Why? Because just the mere presence of the giant. But David wasn't intimidated by the giant. The giant was even talking about their God. And this upset David. Now, Goliath wasn't anything to play with. He indeed was intimidating. He's 9 or 10 feet tall. And he was a good trash talker. Perhaps he could talk more trash than Muhammad Ali. Now, you know you got to be a good trash talker to outbeat the greatest. Don't you remember it was in 1975, the Thriller in Manila. Muhammad Ali was getting ready to fight Joe Frazier. Muhammad Ali desired to have the belt around his waist once again. It is said that as Muhammad Ali was getting ready to practice, he had people all around him. He had all the cameras around him, and he just loved that. And he took advantage of the moment. He got a drum, and he started beating on that drum. He started beating on that drum. And Muhammad Ali, out of nowhere, said, the champ is here. The champ is here. The champ is here. And people looked around at all the doors and said, where's Joe Frazier? Frazier had the belt. Ali said, I didn't say the one with the belt or the title is here. I say the champ. I'm the champ. Long before he fought Joe Frazier, in a few days, he was already calling himself the winner. He believed in himself. Look to your neighbor and say, believe in yourself. Here's David saying, if you won't challenge him, I'll challenge him. And they looked at David and laughed at David, but yet there were some who were there who were present. They went and they told King Saul. King Saul, the fast forward, King Saul, he summons in David, and he says, David, you can't fight him. He's a giant. David said, oh, king, when I was in the wilderness, I fought lions, tigers, and bears. Oh, my. I can handle this giant. Saul tries and places his armor on David. He places his helmet, he places his breastplate, but David couldn't move. He couldn't even hold up his sword. He said, I can't fight with these because I'm not used to it. How many of you know you just can't put on other people's clothes if they don't fit? Amen? So David said, I'll fight him. And David gets 5 smooth stones. 5. Why the number 5? Those of you who follow numbers, this is not a lottery request. But the number 5 is a biblical number, and it represents grace. First song we sung this morning related to God's grace. God's grace is amazing. David takes 5 smooth stones. He goes out there and he meets Goliath. And David didn't need five. How many he needed? One. Saul said to him, "You present this dog to me." Call him a dog. And David says, "You have come with your sword, with your spear, and with your javelin. But I come in the name of the Lord of hosts." And the Bible says David just took one stone and he killed the giant, hit him in his forehead, and he died. Well, he had five. Well, remember, Goliath had four sons. And just in case they lined up, David was prepared. Always be prepared. David was prepared to deal with anything that he was faced with because David wanted them to respect his God. How many of you know you got to respect God? Look to your neighbor and say, "You got to respect God." It reminds me of a preacher's daughter. His name was the Reverend Dr. C.L. Franklin. His daughter's name was Aretha Franklin. She came along and she created this song along with Otis Redding, and it was called Respect. How many of you are familiar with this song? Let's just say the words, all right? Let's read them. R-E-S-P-E-C-T. Respect. You have to respect yourself. And if you don't respect yourself, guess what? Nobody else is going to respect you. You have to respect yourself and really know yourself, as Immanuel Kant, the philosopher, would say, but you have to respect yourself because people are watching you. You have to make sure that your pants are up and you got a belt. You want to respect yourself. A young lady is probably watching you and she'll probably pass you by if you don't have your pants up. Hello. You got to respect yourself. Respect yourself in the classroom. Respect yourself as it relates to dealing with God. Respect yourself as it relates to listening to your professors and listening to your coaches. You have to respect yourself. Aretha knew the importance of not only singing, but also her witness. And by the way, as a footnote, Aretha Franklin received an honorary degree from Bethune-Cookman University. It was college then, because of her life and legacy and what she believed. Look at David, how David wanted this giant to respect his God and to honor his God. What giants are you dealing with today that are hindering you from honoring God and reading his word and studying his word? It is the giant of disappointment or discouragement, a loneliness. What giants are you currently faced with in school or work or in your personal life? Well, let me give you three strategies as I get ready to close. Number one, first, trust in God. Look to your neighbor and say, trust in God. Trust God. Regardless of what the situation is, trust in God. It's easy to worship God when everything is going fine, when you have money in your pocket and your bills are paid and things are working out extremely well and your grades are in order and your team is winning. You can trust God. Point number two, say no to stuff. Look to your neighbor and say no to stuff. Negative stuff, and you can add all the adjectives in. Anything that will hinder you in your relationship with God and relationship with yourself and others. And then lastly, as the praise band is coming, stand on God's word. Stand on God's word. After you've done all, stand. Stand knowing that victory comes through Jesus Christ our Lord. Victories are important not only on the playing field, but also in life, in classroom, and in church. And we have the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Yes, there's an old story, how he came from glory, how he suffered and died for you and me in order to have the right to the tree of life. Jesus loves us even when we're not lovable, and he gave his life for us to have a right to the tree of life. In Jesus' name, hallelujah and amen. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise. praise be to God, and to win God's way, that no weapon formed against us may prosper. Won't you stand?